Hey.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The name of this little old show is We Zig and Zag All Over the Place. I liken it to a pinball machine. Remember those days? Hanging out at the arcade? That pinball would sweep back and forth. And man, if you slam the machine just right, sometimes you're able to hit on all cylinders. We're hitting on all cylinders here on ATN. Water cooler buzz at its best, and you have a stake in this whole thing. I don't care if you're left of left, right, or right. I don't care what your political stripes are. Just have an opinion, and boy, you do, because I got the red alert once again today when I went to check my email. So we will be checking your emails at the end of this hour. Also coming up, we mix in some of the light stuff. Stephen Shohet joins us. Do you know anything about Ayn Rand? He's going to tell you if you have no idea. Ayn Rand, meet Atlas. Sounds intriguing, doesn't it? He's always entertaining. He's our man on the left coast. Each and every week, he jumps on with us. Also coming up around the bend, Matthew Coslato to talk about promises. In this age of political promises that fall short, what about your own personal promises? And actually, he's worked with some pretty famous politicians, so we look forward to talking to him. He's in our virtual green room right now. But before we get to Matthew, a couple of quick things. It's always about the money, right? I say that each and every show. So the painful pinching that's going on across this nation when it comes to filling up your tank, where they're really getting just absolutely stunned, I think, is the Bay Area. The gas prices there, and I double-checked this because I saw a headline. I thought, well, maybe I'm reading that wrong. Maybe they mean over a couple weeks' time. But actually, in San Francisco, 26 cents a gallon it went up. So last week, if you were filling up somewhere in the Bay Area, wherever, you were paying 26 cents less a gallon. You have people filling up their SUVs who are spending $500 or more to do that. Boy, at what point do you just say, stop the insanity? I can't take it anymore. I can't deal with it. And the other thing when it comes to money and looking for money on the Hill that infuriates me is every time we have a good thing going, don't those politicians try to screw it up for us? Don't they do that? So the internet. If you shop on the internet, you know what I'm talking about. Like Amazon, you're there perusing whatever it is, the books, etc. And you're not paying sales tax. Guess what? They want to charge sales tax. Yeah. That this is a way that we could get money. This is what we could do. Senator Mike Enzi, who's a Wyoming Republican, actually, backed a proposal that's pretty similar to the one that's being thrown out now and thrown about on the Hill. And what it would do is tax whatever you buy on the internet according to your state's sales tax. So Overstock.com, etc. Dick Durbin brought up this, again, reviving what was already kind of shot down, and he's calling it, he's going to bring it up after the Easter recess, and he's calling it the way to screw more coin out of Main Street America. No, he's not really saying that. He's calling it something else, who knows what. But I say leave it alone. I mean, give me a break. You have to be kidding me. Why should we have to pay sales tax? Why? Think of how much more expensive things will be now that you purposely shop for on the internet. In fact, today we got something from a company called Land's End. You know Land's End. They make the kind of pseudo preppy kind of stuff. My husband ordered some slacks. I mean, I ask you, who wears slacks? I don't know. On Land's End, but he does. So it comes today, and it actually didn't cost very much, but there was no tax slammed on to that. If he had had tax put on it, it would have been that much more. So what Durbin is really calling it is Main Street Fairness Act, and it kind of follows up that legislation that I mentioned that was thrown out there last July in the House, and to me, I hope they shoot it down. Because I don't want to pay more. I don't know about you, but I don't want to pay more for what I'm ordering on the Internet. I mean, isn't that part of the idea of getting the stuff that way? So forget about it. Not interested. Also coming up on this show, we will get back. I know you hate this and know you don't want to talk about what's going on when it comes to Donald Trump. I had a couple of emails saying, who cares, the guy with the stupid hair. But I told you that I had a really good source on this when everybody was saying, no, Donald Trump's not really going to run. He's just throwing it out there. The fact of the matter is he confirmed it himself. If he doesn't get on the Republican ticket, if he's not nominated, he's willing to go the independent route. That's how serious he is about running for president of the United States. Don't count the Donald out at this point. But how much of a chance do you give him? You know, some of these polls, and I know polls can skew right or left or in lots of different directions, but he is gaining some ground. There is some momentum out there for Donald Trump. But we come back to the same question. Can a businessman run the country? Do you want a businessman to run the country? Well, he has a lot of clout, I guess. He has a lot of connections. He has to have some cachet, but can he really get the things through that you have to get through when your whole life has had nothing to do with straight up politics, just the politics of business? There is a little bit of a difference. But he may have more of a chance than many people are actually handicapping him, are giving him. All right, and I have to clear this up right at the top because I've gotten a bunch of emails from you as well since you heard my previous show. I can't even really answer my phone because so many people are calling me to find out if I was mugged in London and did I need money. So I was hacked. My email was hijacked by somebody overseas, not too nice, who cleared out the email, took over the email, and was sending out to all the contacts notes that I was stuck, didn't have my passport, and needed some cash. And could I just get a little help from you? And here's the hotel number to call. If you got a note like that, if you got a note like that in your email, and it had one of your friends' names or acquaintances or someone you just happened to sort of know in your mailbox, would you respond to that? You know, I had some people that really were going to send money. So once again, let me clear that up. I was not mugged in London. Coming up on
We woke up the mama.
We did wake up the mama. Coming up on the flip side, we're talking about promises.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement. Thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
So are you good at keeping your promises, or are you very thoughtful about those promises? See, that's kind of a little bit of a spin there. Sometimes people are easy to promise because they want, they're people pleasers and they want people to like them. I don't think they necessarily do it on purpose. It's just a reaction. And then they disappoint people because they don't keep that promise. There was really something about that. We've had Matthew Coslato on before. It's been a long time, but I really love the fact that he's connected something to the promise. In fact, he's doing a second annual Make a Promise Day. So without further ado, he's going to put down his latte and join us here on ATN. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, Kate. Great to be back.
So, second time around, how excited are you about doing this? You know, this is going to, I have a feeling you're going to keep doing this, and 17 years from now, it's going to keep happening, and the momentum is building, and it seems like it's really built up for the second time around. Does it feel that way to you?
Well, there is momentum. There is a little bit more awareness. Last year, you were one of the few who heard about it. So I, last year it was kind of a last minute thing. And yet you didn't mention when it is. So it's coming up soon. It's May 4th. Last year, I think around April, I had this idea. Let's create Make a Promise Day. And within about a month, it happened. And I had a little bit of press coverage, but there's been a lot going on since then, not just about Make a Promise Day, but I think, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm working on a book. Obviously, I think I mentioned that, The Power of Making a Promise. And Jack Canfield, you may know that name from mm-hmm. Chicken Soup for the Soul, has done the foreword for the book. He's on board with this, and he loves this idea of the power of making a promise. So I think it's really important that Jack Canfield's involved. And May 4th is coming up real soon. I'm excited.
Yeah, no kidding. What explain to everyone why keeping a promise is so important to you.
Well, yeah, that's so important because it's all about integrity. and accountability, all of those things. It's very empowering to the person who makes a promise and keeps the promise, but it's also inspiring to those around you because it shows that you're a person of your word and a person of integrity. So that's really important just to celebrate that. And when I talk about Make a Promise Day, I say it's the only official or unofficial holiday, I should say unofficial holiday that is dedicated to goal achievement, personal empowerment, and what I call integrity enhancement. So I think it's really important for society to have an agreement that everybody understands that if they make a promise, they keep their word. So I have this mantra. Now I call it Matthew's mantra. Kate, you didn't know about this before. I have four sentences. I string them together, and this is part of an answer to your question. Make a promise, keep your word, change your life, transform the world. That's the big picture, is you can transform the world one person and one promise at a time. So that's, I think there's a lot of power in this idea.
I think there's a lot of power in it, too. Promises are associated a lot, especially these days, with politicians and the lack of keeping them or keeping them. It's like a scorecard. And you know something about politics. For everybody listening, Matthew Caslato spent 8 years on Capitol Hill working as a speechwriter. You were even, you were an assistant to Jim Wright, who, of course, was the then Speaker of the House. And you also worked with Leon Panetta, so you know a lot, I think, about politics. And when in crafting a speech, because you were a speechwriter, are you very careful about that when you work for somebody with a pretty big name that you run? You know, of course, you run it by them, but are you very careful about what you say in those speeches? I would imagine you have to be.
Well, one thing about a speechwriter is the speechwriter never says anything in a speech. It's the person giving the speech. So you have that sort of one degree of separation. So, and the speaker, if you're a good speechwriter, your whole goal is to, you know, really work with the person as on a collaborative basis, make sure the person giving the speech is, owns the speech. The worst thing in the world is to have, you know, the idea that you're some kind of, you know, you're a puppeteer sort of ghostwriting and someone just mouths the speech. That's not good. So you want to have this partnership, a collaboration, try to work with the person and really capture their voice and make sure that what you write is in line with what they believe. And so, yeah, you do have to be careful. That's certainly true.
Are you kind of glad that you're out of the political game now by what you're seeing on the sidelines?
Well, I miss it. I like it. I get involved a little bit. I write some, I have some political views and some reform ideas. So I do get a little bit involved, but I guess I'm not all that, I'm not involved day to day. I think there's a little bit of a daily grind involved with it that I guess I don't mind being away from it. It's nice to have a perspective on it, too, take a step or two removed from it. But I still really enjoy watching it and being involved a little bit.
Yeah, well, we certainly understand that here on America Tonight. When you're let me ask you this question just from the speaking point of view, because you were a speechwriter, and for all the people listening to us across America, who in your opinion was just the best flat-out speaker politically that you ever saw?
Well, the first name that just pops into my mind is Bill Clinton, because not so much, you don't really remember what he said. I mean, a lot of, he doesn't have those great quotes from like a Jack Kennedy or a Martin Luther King, for instance, who have, memorable quotes that people, a few at least that we would think of. But with Bill Clinton, he just really owned the moment and from an audience. He was so connected to the audience. It's almost like he was talking to you personally, and he was really good and still is a master of that, having that one-on-one connection, and you feel like he's really talking to you personally. I think he's one of the best at that I've seen. I think Barack Obama is really, really gifted in this similar way, but he's a little bit more detached. He's not quite that one-on-one sort of connection that that Bill Clinton has.
Yeah. As somebody who's watching this on the sidelines and you were in the game, do you think 2012 is going to be interesting, or do you think, in your opinion, do you think Obama just wraps it up because it's kind of all over the map when it comes to the Republicans right now as to who's, you know, throwing their names in and stuff? Personally, I don't see anyone right now running away with it on the Republican side of things.
No, it's definitely true. There seems to be, there's no clear front runner on the Republican side, and some of the people out there, you really, it's hard to take too seriously. Some of the characters who might be, you know, thinking about it, toying with the idea. So I remember, I forget what year it was, there was something about, there was a candidate and then the seven dwarfs. That might be in 1988. There's like there's seven dwarfs. For some reason, I'm just thinking of that image of on the Republican side.
Sure.
There seemed to be like a bunch of dwarfs out there. I think Obama's the best thing he has going for him may be the opposition. There may not be any real credible opposition.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if something changes here in the next 6 months or so. Author, writer, speech writer, political fan, and the guy about promises. The power of making a promise. Tell us that day again in May.
It's May 4th, and let me remind you why I picked May 4th. You remember, but your listeners may not know. I picked May 4th because I wanted to be able to say, "May the 4th be with you." And
I love
that's,
it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it is all about personal empowerment coming up on May 4th. And if people are interested, I guess they could swing by the website, makeapromiseday.com, and find out a little bit more.
Excellent. Go to the website. Matthew, thanks, and may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, same to you. Right back at you. Thanks, Kate. Appreciate
thanks, Matthew.
It.
Thanks.
Right.
Always
bye
fun
now.
To kick it around with him. Bye-bye. Coming up, we're going to talk a little movie stuff, like I said before, with Stephen Shohat. And Stephen and I will be focusing on Ayn Rand. Somebody said to me already, who's Ayn Rand? I'm not even going to tell you if you don't know. Are you kidding? In the age of the Internet, it's so easy to just Google it. But we'll tell you all about Ayn Rand and Atlas when he joins us, as he is now also in our virtual green room. And then coming up at the end of the hour, don't forget, we've got sports shorts. I'm just going to say it has to do with horses, roses, mint juleps, hats. Anybody have any guesses as what the subject matter is for sports shorts? Think about it.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled AffinityDiet.com, or call toll free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed, from AffinityDiet.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Here we go. The Spring Break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into health for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body.
Lose weight.
It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And remember,
sunny
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's GetTheTea.com.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products, and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The pinball analogy that I was talking about at the top of the show. Here we go again. Each and every week, talking Hollywood with us, Stephen Shohet. He's got a book out that's great. Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes about the Stars and Legends of the Movies. I'm telling you, you will laugh out loud at some of the nuggets that he has put in this book. It's like a timeless book, really, honestly. I'm not just sugarcoating this or sucking up to him because he's in the wings, but it really is such a good read. So I'm very thrilled that we have him on every single week. This time we're going to talk a little Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged, and I was saying this, and somebody said to me, who is Ayn Rand? Are you kidding me? You don't know who Ayn Rand is? Well, she's known for a couple of pretty big books back in the day, and also she was, I guess, playwright. She had a philosophy. She had a philosophy that she called objectivism. Oh, none of you listening to this show embody that, by the way. So without further ado, let's go to Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing? I'm fine, thank you.
You knew who Ayn Rand was way before.
Yeah. Alice Rosenbaum from St. Petersburg, born in 1905, and then took the pen name Ayn Rand later on when she started writing. And, yeah, she was involved in Hollywood in quite a long time. You know, when she came to America in the 1920s, she went to Chicago for a little while, lived with some distant relatives, got so she was very pretty good with English. Then she came to Hollywood, and she was standing outside Paramount Studios, and Cecil B. DeMille pulled out in a limousine, and she was staring at him, and DeMille rolled down the window and said, young lady, what are you staring at? And she said, you know, in kind of faulty English, I really admire you in Russia. I love your movies. And he said, get in. And so he took her in the limo, and she told him that she wanted to be a screenwriter. And he hired her to be an extra in his movie, The King of Kings, so she could see how movies worked. And then hired her as a screenwriter, although he never really used much of what she wrote. He kept rejecting everything. And eventually she found herself unemployed, and she struggled for many years. And then she ended up writing a novel. It took several years to write, called The Fountainhead, which was largely inspired by the buildings in Manhattan that really impressed her. You know, one thing she always said, and she was an atheist, she was asked one time, doesn't it impress you, the universe, the stars in the sky? She says, no, I look up at not at the stars. I look up at skyscrapers because I'm impressed by what men built. And that really inspired her with the Howard Rohr character in the movie The Fountainhead. And her movies, they don't really automatically lend themselves to the most cinematic, you know, the best probably cinematic results. I mean, the Fountainhead was finally made into a movie, and it was such a big seller that when Ayn Rand returned to Hollywood, she from New York, she really had a lot of pull. She was quite respected, and she got to have final say on the script, which she wrote. And it ended up being a very long speech with Gary Cooper that almost mirrors the novel. And that speech took about 6 minutes, and the movie The Fountainhead didn't get very many good reviews. Well, Atlas Shrugged, I mean, the final speech by the character John Galt, and not to give the story away, is 60 pages. So how you'll do that in the cinema, I don't know. Now, this movie coming out on Friday is part of a trilogy. It's Atlas Shrugged Part 1, so they don't have to get to the big climatic speech yet. But I don't know how they'll do it exactly. And you know, it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, no kidding. And who are some of the players in this movie? I don't even know.
Yeah, they're not famous. You know, at one point it was going to be Angelina Jolie. A couple years ago, she and Brad Pitt were going to be involved with a miniseries, and it just fell through. Angelina Jolie. It's interesting about Angelina Jolie. I mean, everybody, you know, automatically assumes she's a Democrat, and she's poo-pooed that notion. She's kind of politically independent. Brad Pitt's definitely a Democrat. But she really wanted to do it, but she said that it wasn't something that she was going to do unless it was right, and I guess it never turned out that way. And so the man who owned the rights to it, it was a businessman named John Aguilero. His option on the film, which he purchased 20 years ago, was running out, and he said, well, you know, if I don't make it now, it might never be made. So he got a $10 million budget, and he's using actors. The lead actress is a lady named Taylor Schilling, and it's pretty much a not very big name. I don't know if people recognize any of these names. I think Michael Lerner, people have seen him before, and Armin Shimerman, who used to be on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But it is not a big name movie, but right now I'll tell you something that's happening, Kate. I mean this is an independent film, but just in Hollywood generally, they're willing to go without big names in a lot of movies. I mean, they're remaking Superman with Henry Cavill. They're remaking Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, who might become a big name. But movie stars are becoming secondary to the concept. And I think that's what John Aguilero is hoping here, that Ayn Rand is really the star. And of course, this movie, unlike a lot of movies, is definitely aimed at conservatives, even though ironically enough, I mean, Ayn Rand often put down conservatives and like I said, was an atheist. So even though the capitalism of her ideas appeals, some of the other things might not. Now the thing is, the book The Fountainhead the book Atlas Shrugged had a lot of steamy sex scenes, and I don't think people can expect that to be in this movie, which is going to be more focusing on the philosophy and the ideas of capitalism, not really going for the graphic stuff.
And you're right about that. You look at Atlas Shrugged, and the appeal would be more conservative based. But do you think Do you think somebody who considers himself to be left of left would go and see this anyway?
I think some will, yeah. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people who are interested in Rand. Like you know, my mother, for example, is a big liberal, and I'm a diehard conservative, and so, but you know, she's probably read more Rand than I have. So, I think it will have some interest. Now the thing is, it's a movie that's going to be tough to gauge by reviews because people are going to have their preconceived notion about it, I think, and there's going to be definitely bias by the reviewers. Now, not good for the movie. PJ O'Rourke, who's definitely a conservative, has given it kind of a lukewarm review, and the other thing is, I mean, it's such a long novel. Can you get the gist of the story in three movies or even one movie? I mean, the movie's not very long, only an hour and a half. And a TV miniseries might have been the best way to go here. But I think a lot of people will want to support this movie because, of course, a lot of people are not always happy with the current Hollywood fare. And I think, on a political level, I mean, it's an opportunity. And I think if you look at movies that have had sort of a conservative bent, like, say, The Blind Side, people have flocked to come out to see a movie like that. And this is probably a much deeper philosophy than that. But I think people will be ready for this entertainment. And John Aguilera has said, unless this movie makes $30 million, there's not going to be part two and part three. Ooh. You just can't afford it.
Yeah, no kidding. And you wonder how that carries over. It's like, I know these are completely different genres and just a completely different. But remember the Kill Bill trilogy, how that all went down? And so you had to wait for the second, the third. But the audience was there for that. And this is a way different subject matter. Can you get people to carry over with this kind of stuff? You don't know.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, Ayn Rand worked on, I mean, she wrote this book in 1957, and she worked the whole time, the rest of her life, pretty much on the screenplay for the book. It's interesting. She was actually a big fan of Mickey Spillane and a big fan of Charlie's Angels. She used to love that show, and she actually wanted Farrah Fawcett for the lead role. But again, one of the problems was, to be fair to the Hollywood people, it's not just, there is a big political bent, but it's also, can they make this cinematic? And that was a big issue, because there are people in Hollywood who would have similar points of view, or at least want to allow this type of movie to come to the screen, and the question is, long speeches, lots of talking, can you make it cinematic? And it'll be very interesting to see how it goes with this version that's not a Hollywood film, but it, even though it's made in L.A. mostly, and a real independent effort here.
I think you and your mom should go see it together.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. My mom's a good sport. My mom's a good sport. If I could just get my mom to vote for Bachman, then we will be going someplace. By the way, Ayn Rand probably wouldn't have voted for Bachman. Ayn Rand was totally against women being president and commander-in-chief of the army. I mean, she said, if a woman ever runs for president, no way would I vote for them. So
he kind of loved that.
Yeah, take that for what it's worth. Exactly.
Stephen Schohead, thanks as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it.
All right, so Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged. That was a great kind of a review heading into the movie this weekend. We'll do our cheap movie review, by the way, at the end of the week here on America Tonight. On the flip side, sports shorts.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan?
Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. Hometown Financial has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are in the mid-fours. That means lower interest and lower payments for you. Act now to lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting even one day could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time homebuyers, call Hometown Financial now at 800-526-5399. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that is best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible. Discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Call 800-526-5399. That's 800-526-5399. Rates might never be this low again in your lifetime. Don't miss out. Call 800-526-5399.
It's been called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports and involves a bunch of three-year-olds. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take 1 weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Every year, the first Saturday in May, all eyes are turned toward Churchill Downs for the oldest horse race in the country. It all started back in 1875 thanks to Colonel Meriwether Lewis Clark, the grandson of William Clark. Remember the Lewis and Clark expedition? He made a jaunt of his own to England and Paris and saw two of the biggest horse racing events at the time. He was hooked, prompting Clark to build Churchill Downs and set up a race of the best three-year-old thoroughbreds. The first Kentucky Derby featured 15 horses. 10,000 people watched. The horse who wins the race has a shot at racing's Triple Crown if they move on to win the Preakness and the Belmont. Affirm was the last horse to do that in 78. The first race of the three is so popular people all over the world hold watching parties where many will sip mint juleps and wear fancy hats. Two of the very biggest traditions spawned from that race in Kentucky. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Kentucky Derby is coming up pretty soon here as we're going deeper into April, 3-4 weeks away. It's really 3.5 weeks away, and before you know it, we'll be into the Derby. We're going to have a great Derby preview for you. We might actually even handicap it. Yeah, see how all of you do. It is the first leg of the Triple Crown, as I mentioned. Coming up, we've got email to check because all of you have so much to say that the box is overflowing. We're going to do that in a second. But first, here on America Tonight, we turn our attention to something pretty sad. They're saying this Predator drone might have killed some U.S. troops. The military is still investigating, but it does look like this is the first case of American troops ever being in this position, being killed by a missile that was fired from a drone. They're looking into the deaths of a Marine and a Navy medic, and they're talking about a Hellfire missile that was fired from one of the Predator drones after they were mistaken for insurgents, apparently, in the southern part of Afghanistan last week. Ooh, how sad is that? Would be considered friendly fire of a different sort, but here you have this unmanned aircraft that is a powerful weapon in this war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're certainly expanding the use of the drones and a lot of the operations, and there has been lots of conflict over this because of some of the civilian casualties. And even the drones, in many cases, are used just for surveillance, not as a weapon. But this was a drone that was apparently armed and is used to hunt, let's face it, and kill terror suspects, militants, whatever you want to call them. But this would be the first case if they can, after this investigation, can for sure claim that where a drone might have been involved in this friendly fire deal. And just how sad is that for those, certainly for those families. And the people in question, the ones that were hit, one of them not far from where our satellite facility is here for America Tonight in Arlington, Texas, Marine Staff Sergeant Jeremy Smith, and the other guy, Seaman Benjamin Rast, who's from Michigan. And what happened is they were moving toward a group of Marines who were just getting shelled in the Helmand province, and they won't really tell you many more details other than to say they're looking at the circumstances that led to this happening. But the Marines were under attack, and what it looks like is they mistook them. It seems to make sense, right? They mistook them for something else, for militants. I mean, that's what happened here, I would think. And, just sad stuff. And already, Smith's father, anyway, the kid from Texas, his father said he didn't want to place any kind of blame for what happened. And, what he said, though, was it was a royal screw-up, and I don't want another family to have to go through this, so fix it. Whoever killed my son, the bottom line is they didn't send the drone over there to have that happen. So can you imagine the person who fired the missile? I mean, can you imagine how they're feeling right now? I'm sure just awful. But it does bring the question up of the drones and the issue as to the control of the drones, and should they be used in certain circumstances. All right, we're going to go to, quickly here, we're going to go and check, as promised, the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Can I hear it one more time? I can't help myself.
You have mail, mistress.
We have to pay $1,000, by the way, every time that he says that. So that's $2,000. Oh, Ted Anderson's going to kill me, I bet.
Yeah, baby!
So let's move on to some of your emails. This one from Little John. I have my doubts about a man who puts little in front of his name. But okay, Little John says, Kate, I know you're high on the whole NASA thing. I've heard you talk about the shuttles before, and I was just reading something about where the shuttles are going to retire. Do you know anything else about it? I just heard something about the Kennedy Space Center, and that makes sense in Florida. Well, yes, in fact, the Atlantis is going to be there in Florida. The Endeavor will be at the California Science Center, they say, in Los Angeles. And the Discovery is going to be at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. They've got a place where they're going to put it in Virginia. And then I guess I love this, too. The test shuttle, the Enterprise, will be at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York. Boy, if you ever go to New York City for whatever reason, go to the Intrepid. I got goosebumps when I went there. Think of anything flight-wise, and you'll see it. From the Concorde to a sub, and then, of course, you're on the deck of the Intrepid walking all over the place. It's one of the coolest, I think, places I've ever been as far as a, quotes, museum is concerned. It's really easy to get to, and I love that they're going to have that test shuttle there. But I like the fact that the shuttles are spread around in different areas so everybody has a chance to see a piece of history. I mean, the shuttles are a piece of history, no question about it. Here's another one. This is from Zohan. Hello, America, tonight. I was reading the thing about the Air France jet. Boy, all of you are reading stuff. I was reading the thing about the Air France jet and what happened on the runway. Do you think it's kind of lucky that it wasn't worse? Yeah, I mean, of course it's lucky that it wasn't worse. With anything with planes, whether on the ground, taxiing, whether it's an accident, the plane itself, like the fuselage thing, but the Air France, it was a clip deal, and they caught it on tape. The Air France plane hit another plane, or clipped another plane. Clipped is the right word to use, when it was taxiing for takeoff, and nobody was hurt. So that, yes, of course, that's the good news there. But it is pretty scary, because what's going on behind the scenes that they're that close? It's just somebody took their eye off the ball for a second. And I think of all the places that I fly to, usually they're pretty busy airports, like O'Hare or LaGuardia in New York or Philadelphia International Airport, LAX, although I try to avoid LAX when I can. Last time I was in Los Angeles, I flew to Burbank. Whenever you can get a regional, you know, the smaller airport in the same city, usually it's so, so much better. So you know what to do, just like they did. If you have any thoughts on the show, or both of those had to do with current news things, you can certainly send us your thoughts at americatonight.net. Go there, all roads lead through the website, click on the email, and boom, you're in.
Oh, just a minute. We are being reduced to reading emails from some jerk like we're in a choir or something. That is absolutely ridiculous to be reading emails from jerks. I resent it.